The Scammy Street podcast is intended for an adult listener audience. Our podcast contains stories and language that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Scare Me Straight podcast, where we, the scariest thing that we talk about is generational trauma. My name's Alexa.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Jonathan.
And tonight we have one of our, actually our only and favorite guest of all time, which is Lizzie.
Hi!
Yay! Lizzie is back.
Hello, friends.
Another episode of the Crime Time with Lizzie. So welcome back.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
Yeah, we haven't told us yet.
Okay, so today I decided to dive into some mysteries at the Cecil Hotel, and we're going to be talking about Elisa Lam.
Yes! Let's go!
John, your face.
John, I can't...
He says, I have no idea.
Let's do it.
You're going to love it, John.
I can't imagine living in a world where, like, I just, none of this is familiar. Like, what's it like, John?
Yeah, what is it like?
Yeah,
girl, I could walk away right now and forget that she ever said that name and never remember the name. I don't know.
So wait,
Cecil Hill?
Cecil Hotel.
Oh, what's her name? Elise?
Her name is Elisa Lam.
Elisa Lam. No, I know nothing. Why is it that crazy?
It's a doozy. We'll dive in. I can't wait to get your reaction on this now. You're gonna excited.
Do you have the footage?
Yes. Yes, awesome. I do. Yes, good. I do. So John, I'll give you like the one liner as per usual to give you a descriptor of what we're gonna talk about today. And then we'll dive into all the juicy details.
Okay.
Okay, so who is Elisa Lam? What happened? On February 19th of 2013, the body of a Canadian tourist, Elisa Lam, was recovered from a large water tower on top of the Cecil Hotel in downtown LA. She was last seen alive on January 31st, and her body was discovered by a hotel maintenance worker investigating water issues within the hotel.
So her body just in that water thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Well, wait, there's more.
Yeah. So let me get a picture.
Are people drinking that water?
Oh.
Gagged. wait, okay, before we continue, Lexi and Nicole, you both know what this is about.
Yeah.
I've seen the footage multiple times.
I've seen like a lot of documentaries on it too.
Oh, really? I haven't seen any.
There's a 4-part documentary on Netflix. There's an I think Unsolved Mysteries did an episode, the TV show.
Yeah, I think that's the one that I saw.
That's a nice, like, quick synopsis. The Netflix 4-parter it's long. It's
I can't
very
remember
long.
If I watched the Netflix 4-part or not. I think I did.
And then there's lots of podcasts too that have covered her case. Cause once we get into it, it's a lot of wild information to piece together, John. So I'm interested to see your take when we're done talking.
I'm really excited.
But Elisa Lam, let's talk about her early life. Her Cantonese name was Lam Yo He. I hope I said that right. She was born on April 30th, 1991 in Vancouver, Canada, to her parents, David and Yina Lam. They were immigrants from China. So they moved to Canada, create a better life for themselves, for their families, and they became restaurant owners. So not super rich, you know, just very blue collar, elbow grease workers owning a restaurant. She had a sister, Sarah. She was very close with her sister. And other than that, not much is really known about her family. They were, you know, low-key, normal, very normal people. At the time, she was a student at the University of British Columbia. And other than that, her interests really surrounded her blogs. She had a very popular blog called Etherfields on Blogspot, as well as another blog on Tumblr that was called Nouvelle Nouveau. where she basically talked about, she used it as a diary about her life. She was very into fashion, so you could see her modeling a bunch of things, as well as just going on general rants about her life and her mental illnesses. And then a little bit about the Cecil Hotel, John, since you don't know much about the Cecil Hotel. It's in LA. Right now it's renamed as the Stay on Main, but it is still the same building, same Cecil Hotel, opened in 1924 as a budget hotel. And it's located right next to LA's Skid Row, which, if you know anything about Skid Row, it's famously known as being probably one of the most dangerous areas in all of the US, with lots of homeless, basically like a dumping ground for anyone who has any severe mental illness, addictions. They really used to call it like a containment zone of people. And it's just, it's tent city. There's a lot of crime, a lot of violence, and a lot of the crime and violence is directly connected to the Cecil Hotel as well. I know you know American Horror Story.
Yeah.
That season was based off of or inspired by the Cecil Hotel and all the dark things that happen there. Right.
Interesting. Okay.
And if you know anything a little more true crimey,
I was going to say, John's not going to know.
But if you know, if you know who Richard Ramirez is, or have you ever heard of the Night Stalker?
I've heard of the Night Stalker, but I don't know what that is.
We can do a Night Stalker episode. But he's a well-known serial killer from the 80s. And during his killing spree, that's where he stayed, was at the Cecil Hotel. That's where he brought victims back. That's where he was staying. He would come home and clean himself off after he did what he did. So that's just a very small piece of like the extremely morbid history of the Cecil Hotel.
So as like an older hotel, this is a silly question, we can also cut this. As an older hotel, does it look like the hotel in American Horror Story? Like an older...
It has very like 1920s vibes to it.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give it that. Yeah, the like American Horror Story Hotel was, I mean, obviously like a beautiful set, a well-maintained.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Cecil Hotel, it's being right off of Skid Row, like now is pretty...
Yeah.
Not well taken care of, but like in its heyday, like it was very popular. A lot of people stayed there. It was a beautiful architectural place to stay. And then, you know, the Great Depression hits, everything like that. And then once we get out of Great Depression, wars, the hotel basically became a place where those who were homeless would stay because it was very cheap. People who just needed a room to rent by the hour doing all of the unmentionable things.
Yeah.
That's what the Cecil was known for.
Didn't, maybe this is wrong, but didn't like the Black Dahlia also stay at the Cecil Hotel or no?
I believe so. I don't think it was connected to her murder, but I believe she had stayed there like right before it happened. I think you're right about that.
Mm.
We can do a whole thing on the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, about like the crazy people who stayed there.
Yes.
Who's Black Dahlia?
Oh my God. John doesn't know any true
John, crime. No, you can't not know that
John,
one.
John, I love you. I love you.
Listen, I don't like it because it makes me sad and upset and I just prefer not to know. So I don't know any of these things.
Well, good. Then I have a lot more to talk about.
So you're going to be busy, Liz.
Be busy. Lizzie is going to have content for days.
Years.
John, your education begins now.
I know. And if I'm like this, I'm sure other people are like this too.
Honestly, so.
You are not the only one. No, you are not the only one.
I'm with Nicole on this one.
I'm like, John is...
I'm the only mofo that Black doesn't know Dahlia, John? About. I'm assuming she wore black.
No.
Like, that's all I've got for you.
Oh, sweetheart.
Like a really cute black dress is what I get.
Now you know a little bit about Elisa. You know a little bit about the Cecil Hotel. So what happens when you brought the two of them together? Let's just go through the timeline of what happened leading up to Elisa. So we know that she was found deceased in the water tower of the Cecil Hotel about 2 weeks after she was last seen alive. So we'll start. I don't exactly know when she was diagnosed. The timeline's not 100% clear, but she was diagnosed bipolar and she had depression. She was on several different medications, Wellbutrin, Lamotrigine, Seroquel, Dexedrine, Spansel, and Venlafaxine. All those medications all at once to treat her bipolar and depression.
That sounds like a party.
her family didn't really talk about the mental illness. You know, they just kind of lived with it. Obviously, like, she went to college. She had a blog. Like, she still lived a relatively, you know, normal life. But she did have a history of not being responsible with her medications. So when she was not responsible with her medications, she was known to suffer from hallucinations that would cause her to hide or, like, just seek refuge from somewhere.
Oh, fuck.
And we know she was hospitalized at least one time because she wasn't responsibly taking her medication and she was having severe hallucinations. So because of that, hospitalized at least once.
That makes me really sad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's tough.
About a year before she was in LA, so we're at like January-ish of 2012, she posted on her blog saying that, you know, she had had a relapse in her mental health, her medication needed to be reevaluated, and it was causing her to drop several classes within her school term. So she was feeling lost. She was feeling depressed. She wrote a blog post titled, "You're Always Haunted by the Idea that You're Wasting Your Life," because she was afraid she wouldn't be able to attend grad school and do all the things she wanted to do educationally because she kept needing to drop classes. So you can kind of see just by that one how, like, kind of eloquent she was, how like smart and insightful she was.
It sounds like she was very self-aware too.
Oh, I was just gonna
like,
say
I
that.
Recognize all these things are happening.
Yeah,
probably makes it worse.
Which says a lot about the person that she is, you know.
So then 2012, after she dropped a bunch of courses, that's when she started her new Tumblr, which is actually still active.
It's giving very much like Tumblr vibes.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
But also like, very much normal, everyday kind of girl. Like nothing that strikes me as overly depressed in any way, you know?
Right, I would agree. But so she started that blog and then she just started to get really inspired by, you know, wanting to start a new thing. So she decided she wanted to get away from school for a little while. Maybe it would like clear her head a little bit, get her re-inspired. So she wanted to go to the U.S. She wanted to go to California, you know, get inspired by fashion again, see all the cool sights, do all the cool things. So she talked it up with her parents and her parents were like, yes, you can go, but you need to call us every single day. That was the deal. Contact us every single day and you can go by yourself. We will help you take this trip. And so she went to, California in the beginning of 2013. The first place she went was San Diego. She got there around, I think it was the 22nd of January. And she, traveled around a little bit and went to, the San Diego Zoo was like the big thing that she did there. And then from San Diego is when she got to LA. She got to LA on the 27th of January, and checked into the Cecil Hotel for her room. What I thought was interesting, and I didn't know this, the Cecil Hotel kind of operates like a hostel. So she was given a room on the fifth floor and it was a shared room. So she had roommates with people that she didn't know the next day, technically, January 28th, but it was still within like hours of her checking in. She was moved to her own separate private room within the hotel because the people she was room with had complained that she was displaying really strange behavior. She was leaving them notes on like post-its around the room that would say, go home, go away, leave me alone. Oh. And she was locking their door and requiring a password for them to enter. So her roommates went down to the hotel and were like, you got to get this girl out of our room. Like, we're not going to have this.
I love that. She's the problem.
Yeah. Wait, okay.
I would be so freaked.
It is wild to me that at any time in history, there was the ability that you could go somewhere and you would have roommates with people you don't know.
I think you could.
Well, that's how
that.
A hostel
still
is.
A thing. Yeah.
But it's like,
still a thing.
That is still wild to me. But my question,
hostels are huge.
Yeah.
My question is, did she know when she booked the room that she would have roommates?
I'm not 100% sure if she knew she would have roommates, but She had like posted on her blog that the point of her going to California, she wanted to meet new people, experience new things. So it was either she didn't know and was cool with it, or she booked her room that way.
I feel like in most cases you have to, the hotel has to disclose.
Has to disclose it. Yeah.
It's a hostel.
People that you like don't I'm paying a certain price for a room. You're paying this price because you're sharing it with four other people.
You're basically paying for a bed.
Exactly.
Yeah. I
would be pissed. Would you guys stay in a hostel?
I would, but not if some
depending on where it is.
Probably not now. But you know, like in my early 20s and stuff, yeah, I would have stayed in a hostel.
Tim stayed at multiple hostels before. He's done that a lot. Mike has.
I would do it as long as I also had someone else traveling with me. Yeah, I don't think I would stay in one by myself. But, you know, female traveling by herself has negative connotations attached to it. Now.
I was going
to
say the same thing. I don't
but if I was
I
like traveling with a group of girlfriends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You probably end up getting the whole room to yourself, depending on how many people you're traveling with.
True. That too. But also you come out with some really interesting stories.
Yeah. I mean,
this girl was giving me a sticky note. I had to give her a password. Oh.
Can you imagine the people she shared her room with just being like, yeah, this girl was leaving us sticky notes and locking me on my room.
And
so
it,
she
it
had
was
to go.
Within
just
hours. Not even
within hours. Yeah.
This is this cute little like Asian girl too. Like she's not a threat.
She's adorable.
She's just there. With her problems, you know.
The 27th, the day that she got to LA, that night, she went to a taping of Conan's show in Burbank. And she was escorted off the property by security because she was being disruptive.
Oh, so
I have no other notes on that other than she was escorted because of her disruptive behavior.
Oh, so she got like problems.
She gets rowdy.
I'm already assuming she's off her meds.
Oh, yeah. She must be. Yeah. At this rate.
And then the next thing we know is January 31st. She was scheduled to check out of the Cecil Hotel and she was supposed to leave for Santa Cruz, California. And her parents didn't receive a phone call from her that day. That was a deal. You know, you're supposed to call your parents every day. So as soon as they did not hear from her that day, they called LAPD, reported her as a missing person, and they flew to LA right away. Like her parents just off the bat knew something was wrong. And she was reported last seen in person by a bookstore owner that was right next to the Cecil Hotel. And the 31st was the last date she was reported seen alive. So once her parents got there, the police kind of like hopped on it right away because her parents explained that she had a history of mental illness. So they're like, okay, like something's probably up. So they did a search of the room she was staying in at the Cecil. They brought dogs to sniff through the building. They went through her room, through the lobby. They did all the floors, not every individual room, but all the floors and the rooftop. But they weren't successful in detecting a clear line of her scent. Obviously not searching every room because they didn't have probable cause to do so. And there's hundreds of rooms in the Cecil Hotel. So, but her wallet, her ID, her laptop, her medications, all of her belongings were still either in her room or at the hotel. I read two conflicting things that said her stuff was still in her room. And then I read something else that said the hotel had actually placed her belongings in like a bag because she hadn't checked out and left all of her stuff in there. But either way, like her stuff was still at the hotel, all of her stuff. She didn't have any of her belongings with her. So then the next thing we know is February 6th, which is a week after she was last seen. The LAPD put out missing persons flyers just to be like, hey, have you seen this girl? Because we have no information. And nothing, unfortunately, came of the flyers. So another week goes past and then the LAPD released the video. The last known sighting, which was taken from the Cecil Hotel's elevator security cameras on the 31st. And this video drew a lot of interest. It was reposted thousands of times and I'm going to show you why.
Oh, man. Let's okay. Go.
The video.
It's not scary. It's not scary.
I mean,
I'm panicking.
It's kind of scary.
You don't need to panic. And there's no like sudden noises. So,
okay. Nothing's
there's actually no me. There's actually no noise okay. at all.
Oh, she looks like she's off her meds.
Yeah, what is she? Oh, no.
She's pushing a bunch of buttons.
She's going to every floor.
Same girl.
And the hotel door, or the door's not closing.
Okay, but that's also kind of weird. Why isn't the door closing?
But you can't see because there are no other camera angles. Door is still not closing.
That's fucking weird, though.
Yeah. Why would that not close?
She's standing outside of it, still not closing, doing something. I don't know what she's doing, but you can see her hands moving.
Yeah, that would have started, like, even with the sensor on it, at some point, it would have started closing.
Damn, she's pushing going through
it. Buttons.
Get it, girl, get it.
Push the close button, girl. Push the close button.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Is the elevator just broken?
The CISA Hotel reports that nothing was broken.
Oh, her hands look weird, don't they?
It's like she's talking to someone or something.
So she definitely is seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also no other camera angle, so who says she's not talking to nothing?
Right.
There is a possibility that somebody is standing outside holding the door button open.
Exactly.
I was thinking the same thing. Because you would never see them from this angle.
And then that's the last you see her.
That's the only explanation. Well, that or her just hitting all the buttons. I don't know if that caused the elevator to fuck up.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. I'm letting the video keep playing.
But the door has not closed.
But if they reported nothing going wrong with the elevator.
And there's the door.
Oh, why now? Why now?
And then give it a minute. You see the buttons change as if it's moving floors. So, right, you give it, the 10 seconds it takes to get to another floor, opens, and now you're on a different floor. So the elevator is operational.
Wait, how much more of the, does it close again?
Mm-hmm. Closes in a normal time, opens and closes in a normal time.
I just got chills from that. What if somebody was out there, but with her being potentially off of her medication, maybe she wasn't even really sure if somebody was there, you know what I mean?
That's a very popular theory.
Crazy.
Right. But so you can see by the LAPD posting that video to say, have you seen this girl? Why it would get so much attention.
Yeah. And I didn't think that somebody could be standing outside the elevator holding the open door button and they're going to be on that side. She went this way, but they could still, once the door closes, they could go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And as viral as that video went, nothing came of it. During the 2 weeks that the LAPD was searching for Elisa Lam, all the guests started complaining at the hotel. They were complaining about low water pressure, weird water color, and strange water taste. So finally, on February 19th, a hotel maintenance worker by the name of Santiago Lopez found Elisa's body in one of the 4,000-gallon water tanks on the roof of the Cecil Hotel, which provides water to not only the guest rooms, but the kitchen and the coffee shop that's attached to the hotel. He could see her laying face up in the tank from the open hatch.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then they retrieved her body. By February 21st, she was at the LA County Coroner's office and their full report was done by June 4th. And she was passed. Can you imagine being one of the people in the hotel complaining about your water pressure, not knowing?
And then you find out later, you're like, this is why my latte tasted weird.
Literally showering and her dead body is on
her dead body juices.
You're showering. You're not even showering. You're drinking.
You're gurgling your it teeth. In the shower.
Yes,
sir. I actually might throw up. It's gnarly.
Okay, so here's the top of the UCSA Hotel. These are the 4 water tanks. You can see how tall of a platform they're on by the people standing here. This I got this from a Reddit post that was talking about the theories of how she could have gotten into the water tank. Mm-hmm. So there's a stairs access point here, but then she would have had to climb this wall ladder thing and then go over and jump over, which that jump is not realistic. Because if you look at it, it's at least 1.5 meters tall.
Mm.
But then we also have to,
if she didn't do it herself, someone else would have had to carry her up there and throw her in that water tank.
I was just gonna say that.
Did the maintenance person that went and found her, did they say if the hatch was open or closed?
The hatch was open already. And then after they found her body, they closed it themselves, called police and said, I found body in the water tank. But the hatch was already open. The maintenance worker did say those hatches are heavy and they cannot be closed from the inside. So let's talk about the police's investigation, and then I'll tell you what was in the coroner's report. So obviously their case went from missing persons to an investigation on how she died. And by the time their investigation was concluded, they determined how she died, but they really didn't offer any explanation of how she found herself on the roof, or let alone got into the water tank. But to try and figure out what happened, they used her social media. They really dove into her Tumblr. They tracked her travels and investigated all of her posts leading up to her disappearance, just kind of to use them as clues as to like what happened or like what her mental state was like. Because, you know, if you're posting certain things, obviously you're thinking about certain things. So the Netflix documentary, if you haven't seen it, it's really good. I recommend you go watch it because they talk a lot about the police's initial investigation and what they were looking at. And they were really, really looking for a suspect and like basing it on foul play based on her blog posts. Her Tumblr posts said a lot of things, you know, like a lot of interesting stuff that would seem interesting to like investigators, but not like us as young people just reading a blog. It would seem, you know, pretty normal. You could tell from her blog, like, you know, she wanted to branch out. She wanted to meet people. She was friendly. She wanted to do new things, but police also saw that as a way that could have landed her in trouble. So one quote that from her blog that they really kept sticking with and like kept bringing up was that she said her mouth could get her into trouble and that she had no filter and rarely knew what would come out of her own mouth. So she was very spontaneous in a sense.
Do you think she was like on the spectrum?
I can't tell, honestly. I think so. But because of all the medications they had her taking, like I can't tell.
What makes you think spectrum? Like I'm curious.
Well, you know how typically they say like people with autism don't really have that filter.
So they blurt things out or.
And she did have ADHD, which is a very early entrance into the spectrum, which you never like there could be more linked to that, too.
And I think that a lot of like women are less likely to be diagnosed with autism than boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
So maybe she had undiagnosed autism or was on the spectrum.
That's an interesting thought, yeah.
But then once they discovered her body, that's when they really tried to dive in on how did she end up in this water tank? How did she even get up to the roof? So they started investigating the hotels. The doors and stairs that all had access to the hotel's roof were locked. Only staffs could have keys and passcodes. And if you didn't have a key or passcode and still tried to attempt to open the doors, there was an alarm. And the alarms were working at the time that they were investigating. And the Cecil Hotel said that they had an inspection report and there shouldn't have been anything like the alarm should have been working. So she couldn't have used those doors.
Or someone would somebody have been able to turn those off?
Not off. She would have had to either have access to someone's passcode or someone would have had to given her key or opened it for her.
Okay.
The only other option to get on the roof then would be the fire escapes from the hotel. There were three different fire escapes that led up to the roof. And in the initial search for her that where they had the scent dogs, they did lose her scent at a window in one of the rooms that did lead to a fire escape. So they think because obviously they can't take the dogs on the fire escape, they're thinking that's the window she exited to get up onto the roof using that fire escapes. And then another aid to their investigation, police found a video that showed the roof was easily accessible from the fire escapes. You could basically just walk right up onto it from the fire escapes. And that from security footage, you can see two of the lids of the water tanks were open.
Oh.
They also did say they did bring the police dogs up onto the roof the first time and they didn't catch any of her scent. So I don't know why they would lose it at the window and still take them up on the roof and them still not have any scent of her up on the roof. Yeah. But it's out in the elements. So I don't know if that has anything to do with how well the dogs can track the scent. So they concluded that she fell off her medication and in a state of mental illness, she happened upon the roof, climbed inside the water tower herself. And they supported that by saying it would have been quite difficult, almost impossible for someone to have killed her and thrown her in the water tank. They found no additional DNA, no additional fingerprints, nothing to confirm a murder. So they closed the case as an accidental drowning caused by a mismanagement of bipolar medication. But to me, the case isn't closed. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of details that just don't add up. She would have needed to get on the roof completely undetected. They didn't say which tanks had the lids open, and I never saw the video or the security camera that the police saw. So I think they were just using that as kind of a way to say, oh, well, we saw that lids were open, so she climbed her way in, as a way to not completely investigate it. But even so, like, the lids were really heavy. She would have needed to climb up onto the platform one where the tanks were located, and then also scale the side of the tank on a 10-foot ladder to then climb inside. Or if someone did this to her, they would have had to do that with her limp body over the side, or her struggling fighting body.
But there is security footage on the roof.
They either said, so it's not like footage, it's like a camera that takes one photo every like hour or so.
Okay, so 1 hour it was closed, and then the next it was open.
I don't know how detailed they looked into them.
And do we know the time of that video that you showed us? Like, what time of day or night?
They scrambled out the time and never released what time the video was taken. And people use that as a way to speculate that that footage is cut apart and there's pieces missing from it. Oh. But because the time is fuzzed out, you can't tell. And there are people who have like zoomed in on only the fuzzed out clock to like try and make out numbers and see if the time was cut. Like there's people who are obsessed with that fact.
I mean, she does leave the view of the camera multiple times.
So exactly.
It's very easy that it could have been cut together.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Why would they blur out the time? Like that doesn't make any sense. Why would?
That's what a lot of people say.
Mm. Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Okay. But then also why hide that then? So what would be the reason behind hiding the blurred out?
Right. Why are we blurring out the time at all?
And mushing together.
If anything, it's another piece of evidence to say this is the camera footage and the last date she was seen wearing this clothing on this date.
Like, that's a lot of work.
Right.
Like, who would and why?
And I was like asking because if that was during the day, obviously, like, there's something going on. She's having an episode. She's seeing things, or she is really talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And if that's the last time they saw her, it kind of leads me to believe that would lead her up to the roof in that same time period and all this is happening. But if it's during the day, people are probably going to see somebody walking up.
True.
Some random girl walking up the
fire escape.
The fire escape.
Right.
And if it's at night, that would make more sense that she maybe fell in or just did it.
Right.
And then during the day, you would almost assume that somebody would see her like popping her head out, acting really suspicious. Like somebody probably would have been like, hey, this girl seems a little weird. Like,
and what stinks is like she was in the water long enough that the coroner's report couldn't identify a specific time of death. You know, she was last seen on the 31st. She is speculated to have passed that same day, if not the very next day, which means she was in that water for almost 20 days.
Oh my God.
So obviously, let's just talk about the coroner's report. So she was found in the tank, said she was moderately decomposed and bloated. She was in water. Her skin was mostly greenish with some marbling on her abdomen. And her skin did start to separate in some places. That's what happens when you're in water. But even so, there was no evidence of physical trauma, no evidence of sexual assault, no evidence of suicide. And the toxicology tests they ran showed traces consistent with her prescriptions, as well as a very small amount of alcohol. They didn't find any other like recreational drugs, anything else. But they did note in the coroner's report, they said that the concentration of her prescription drugs in her system indicated that she was either under medicating or had just recently stopped taking her medications before she died.
Okay.
So that's what the coroners had to say.
What is marbling? Abdomen.
Like when your skin, like your veins pop out. And it like your veins turn a different color and it makes your skin look marbled, like granite, like, you know what granite looks like?
Yeah.
That's how your skin can look.
Yeah.
Do you all know this By watching true crime documentaries?
No, God. I was going to say, you know how, like...
I do special effects makeup.
Yeah, like SFX stuff.
Oh. I was going to say, sometimes babies even have, like, marbling skin.
Yeah, when they, especially when they're first born, because their skin is still so, like, light. I mean, it obviously has not seen the light of day. Mm-hmm. It's pale. You see a lot of veins.
Oh.
Yeah,
they John's like, I've never aliens. Looked at a new baby.
I haven't seen a new baby from the vagina yet.
I have to show you a picture of Max right after he came out. Yeah. He looks like an alien. It's awesome. It's so cool.
And then, you know, the bodies bloat and all that when they're... Mm-hmm.
That I knew.
Because they're in water.
Like you can't.
She was really decomposing in that water.
Yeah, girl. Like
people were truly drinking.
John is like more horrified of people like just bathing in it.
Water was discolored, so you know she was in there for a while.
But on the other side, I thought maybe like a day, 2 days, maybe. But then 20 days, like
almost 20 days. Yeah.
I mean, they're washing your salads. They're making your smoothies. They're making your coffee. They're making. They're cooking the chicken in the water.
I'm going to leave.
Like, I can't.
Give me the salmonella because don't even wash my chicken at that point.
I think that is the true crime right there.
Did anyone report being like becoming sick?
I was going to say, yeah. I'm surprised if people
not that
sick.
I read. No. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if anyone really connected the dots on that.
Right. Because like, if
I don't know. I didn't.
If you got the poops, like you don't know what that's
actually,
from.
They definitely, so in the Netflix documentary, they interviewed people who were staying at the hotel at the same time. But I don't remember if anybody said they got sick. John, you're going to love this. Okay. So I needed to know how her brain was functioning or could have been functioning at the time. So I looked up all of her medications and to see how they interacted with each other. And then I also looked up how they would interact if she was on them as well as drinking, because they found a trace alcohol in her system. So what was she on? She was on Wellbutrin, Lamotrigine, Seroquel, Dexedrine Spansel, and Venlafaxine. So Wellbutrin, used to treat depression, basically works to like restore your dopamine and your norepinephrine in your brain. There's a note with this medication. It has to be taken at the correct time intervals to prevent seizures. You cannot take any more or any less of your medication, and you have to take it at the same time every day.
Wait, hold on. I'm on Wellbutrin, so.
Seizures? Girl, I'll be taking that medication
every day. Take it
every day at the same time.
Nobody told you this.
Okay, well, I'm telling you
now. Yes, I am. I am. I'm taking it every day at the same time.
Good job.
Okay.
But now I want to cry.
Because
I sip my wine.
If you are not taking it properly, you can have severe mental or mood changes.
That makes sense.
And then severe side effects of just this medication include being generally agitated, anxious, confused, and can also cause hallucinations and memory loss.
Oh.
So take your medication every day at the same time.
So that the person I see in the corner there isn't there.
Your imaginary friend.
Ah,
not there. No.
Bye, Josh.
Oh, we're going to call her Sarah Quay, girl.
Oh, Sarah Quay.
I mean, that name is cute as fuck.
My imaginary friend, Sarah Quay.
That is cute. I'm not going to lie. Second medication she was on, Lamotrigine. So that's used to prevent and control seizures, also used to prevent extreme like mood swings from bipolar disorder. So you typically use this in conjunction with other medications, can also help in being like an anticonvulsant or like an anti-epileptic drug. So that's where the seizure part comes in. Basically just helps your brain restore it back to its normal natural substances. But if you stop it cold turkey, your conditions can get severely worse. So you can experience depression and suicidal thoughts or suicidal attempts, as well as anything like in conjunction with a bipolar disorder or a seizure disorder, if you just stop this medication cold turkey. Next thing she was on was called quetiapine, which is the Seroquel.
Seroquel. That's Seroquel.
I don't know. Quetiapine is pretty cute too.
Wait, say
it
again.
Imagine?
Quetiapine.
Quetiapine. Could you imagine? Hey, Quay.
Quay, Quay.
That's cute. Hey, Quay. Oh, get my ass over here.
Oh, my dad's on this medication. That's why he named me it.
I don't know if John would be on. So Seroquel, quetiapine, is used to treat mental or mood disorders such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or like sudden episodes of mania or depression related to bipolar disorder. So John, I don't think you would be on this, but.
So I have a question, and all the people on the pod, like, we all know that I'm dumb and I don't know any of this stuff. So like, just bear with me. Okay, y'all. Schizophrenia is when you do what?
That's like
you
hear voices. Yeah.
There's different levels to it for sure.
Okay. And then bipolar is when you have like high, really highs and really, really lows.
I think so.
And you get angry.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So like schizophrenia is like when you like your reality is skewed, right? Mm-hmm. You can have hallucinations, you can have delusions, be like really disoriented and can't like function daily because you can't tell what's real and what's not, basically mm-hmm. schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Whereas like bipolar is like extreme mental. I don't want to call it a roller coaster, but
this is like manic, ups and downs.
Manic episodes. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Manic is a common term.
Is there anger in that?
There can be. Yeah. Could so it, like bipolar is like extreme mood shifts or extreme like energy shifts. So you go from like really high highs where you're like buzzing on all engines. You can usually see people refer to it as like their OCD kicks in and they clean their house like crazy and can't stop cleaning. But then as soon as that like peak is reached, you immediately hit a low to where you're so depressed you can't even get out of bed.
Oof.
Like, so that's like it's high highs and low lows, and it's just a constant roller coaster.
That's interesting. Gotcha. I can see like where like
there's a gay character in Shameless that has bipolar, and it kind of shows like him going through those like high highs and low lows. It's really interesting.
But so that's another one she has to take regularly. It has to be taken at the same time each day. This one was basically just used to like boost her other medications. This one has some side effects, but not to the extremes that like all the other medications do. So she was on dexedrine, Fansal, which is used to treat ADHD, basically just to keep your mood more level, keep you more focused. Side effects of this, suddenly stopping this medication can cause you to be severely tired or have general sleep problems and can cause mood changes such as depression. But this can also cause hallucinations and abnormal thoughts and behavior if you abuse the medication or don't take it properly. And then the last thing she was on was venlafaxine. So that's also used to treat depression. It's known as like a basically like a serotonin, and they call it a serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. So they call them SNRIs. Basically, it's a fancy way to say they help restore serotonin in your brain.
That's what I'm on. Not that medication, but the NSRI sounds familiar.
SNRI. There's a couple different ones you can take at like different levels. Usually if you're on this specific venlafaxine, you're taking it 2 or 3 times a day. And if you're not taking it in the proper doses at the proper times, obviously your symptoms can get worse. And if you suddenly stop this medication, you can have blurred vision, sleep issues, confusion, and mood swings.
But like, so you're taking somebody that's already struggling with reality, and then you're giving them all of these medications to take, which we already know that she is not great at. Mm-hmm. So on top of not even taking them, the effects of them having on each other, and then the effects of them having when you don't take it on each other, like, fuck, that's a lot.
Yeah. So like what I did was I took all the drugs that she was taking and I put them into like an interaction checker to see like how they interacted with each other, like what boosts what like counteracts what, just because I was like, that's a lot of similar but different medications to be on. Like, why is she on all of these?
Right.
And basically like what I found was she can be on all of them at once. They interact with each other fine as long as you're taking them how they're supposed to be taken. So if she's not closely monitoring what she's doing, if she's not taking them at the same time every day, and if she's not taking the same doses, she's going to have a huge risk for seizures. But also like all of these drugs basically like increase the power of the Wellbutrin that she's on. So if she stops all of them at once, all of the powerful side effects that she's going to have are the ones that come off of Wellbutrin.
So like we said, right?
Yeah. So we said mental mood changes, agitation, anxiety, confusion, hallucinations, memory loss, sleep trouble. What it can also cause is your skin to feel like it's burning.
You know, what's interesting to compare this to is Annalise Michael, because of her medications were causing.
Yeah, the craziness.
The craziness. Yep, and we don't know if she was taking that medication correctly, but there was all those crazy side effects.
And then Lizzie, how old is she again?
She was in her early 20s.
I think 21, 22, because she was born in 91.
Guys,
she would have been 22 that year. She would have been 22 in April of that year.
I couldn't imagine being 22 and being, because I know how I was at 22, and then being responsible for taking all of these medications at the same, it would have never happened.
Why do you think her parents wanted her to call every single day?
I would have been this girl that did not take them regularly, did not take them at the right time. That would have been me, easily. That could have been anybody, you know?
And that's a lot of medication to manage for one person.
And she's 22. Like, she's not going to do it. She's just not going to, you know?
And a lot of high-risk medication, too. Like, and I'm sure whatever psychiatrist or whomever she was speaking to probably up and down told her, you need to make sure you are taking this as directed.
But she's a kid.
And she's not 22 year old. She's 22.
And she's traveling.
I'm lucky if I remember to take my birth control every single day when I was 22, let alone five different medications at different times during the day.
And then on top of that,
I still struggle to take my medications every single day. I have to put a reminder on my phone.
I love
the alerts, and I still forget sometimes.
Well, then on top of that, with our system, especially in America, it is very difficult to get your medications on time and when you need them, because I just
found
out. Well,
she was from Canada, so.
But she moved to the U.S.
No, she was just traveling.
She's traveling.
Oh, but still, so even if she needed meds, though, I wonder if maybe she ran out.
I would hope that she would.
Right? Left with
them. I would hope that she would bring
I feel like her parents wouldn't have let her leave without knowing she had all of the medications she need for the duration of her time.
I would like to keep my fingers crossed for that one, but who knows?
Right.
You know, maybe she ran out of something.
But she's also known for not taking it, like,
when she needs to.
Correctly. So we already know that that's an issue.
Yeah.
Let's dive into, let's see which of these theories you guys agree with. Because there's a couple popular theories. Obviously, the most popular one is that she died by suicide. So people think that she herself wanted to commit suicide, and they use her blog or her Tumblr as confirmation, because she did talk about her daily struggles with anxiety, depression, her mental illnesses. So some online conspirators think that she went to California to commit suicide, and that was her plan all along. She wanted to go see the sights, do what she wanted to do, but then she didn't want to live the way she was living anymore. But honestly, when I was looking through her Tumblr, I didn't see anything wrong with it. She was a young 20-year-old posting everything that she wanted to on Tumblr. She was using it like a visual diary. I'm sure if you go back and look at my Tumblr or look at my Twitter from when I was 22 years old, like, you would find some very similar stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't strike me as suicidal, like, at least not intentionally.
Intentionally.
I don't think that she did that on purpose. She doesn't strike me as that. She had so much to live for. She had a family that loved her. Like, yeah, she had a lot of issues, but I don't.
And she wanted to do things. She had things she wanted to do.
She had aspirations.
Like, you don't make plans. You don't make aspirations when you
are fully
idealize something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then, okay, we shot that theory out.
So let's none of us think suicide.
No suicide.
I don't know. I'm like, I can see why people would think that her going to California was like a last hurrah before she's like, fuck it. This sucks. I'm on all this medication. My brain doesn't work in a way that makes me happy and is not working for me. Who knows if I'm going to be able to go to school and finish what I want to do. So fuck it. I'm going to go to California. I'm going to do all this shit and I'm going to end it. And I guess I can see that being a possibility.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see if you're on board with the second one. So a lot of people think she was murdered, even though, you know, the coroner concluded there was no evidence of foul play. A lot of people still think the opposite. Her unusual behavior in that elevator is like what really ticks this theory off. So people think that she was being followed. They point out to the fact that she was naked in the water tank. And then they also stick to the misinformation about the lid where she was found. Was it closed? Was it open? How long was it open for? It would have been, if it was closed, it would have been nearly impossible for her to open for herself. It would have been impossible for her to, like, get naked, throw her clothes in the tank, and then jump in the tank as well. They stick to the lid. Was it open? Was it closed? Were the police right? Was the maintenance man lying about the status of the lid? Did the maintenance man do it himself? I don't know. To me, you have to think like this was a woman who was over 100 pounds. So like, regardless she was conscious or unconscious at the time of being put into that water tank, there's no way someone like hurled her over their shoulder or carried her, one, up the platform and two, up the ladder to get into the tank itself. Like, I don't care who you are. There's no way you're lugging a 100-pound body over your shoulder to climb up that ladder.
You were talking so dead weight, firefighter.
Right.
I think they train for that kind of stuff.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But then also, like, to piggyback off the murder theory, some people think that it's a copycat murder. Because there's a 2005 movie called Dark Water, where people of an apartment complex are complaining about dark drinking water, and a girl is found in the water tank on the roof in this movie. So people think that they were at the Cecil Hotel, they were inspired by murder, and they did a copycat murder of this movie.
Mm. I think the only thought that I have on the idea of it being murder is the elevator not working properly. And I think that's the only... I don't know if I would assume it would be murder if that wasn't happening, if we didn't have that footage.
That
is, why is the elevator freaking out? Because that makes no sense otherwise, you know, unless someone's out over there maybe pushing the button. But
is it murder if you like coalesce someone to do something?
Also, interesting thought. Yeah.
Like, so
it's an it's an accessory. Yeah. Isn't that second degree murder? Like, not murder in the first degree, it would be murder in the second. It would
probably be, but like, what if I like brought her up to the roof and I said, hey, that'd be really cute to go jump in that little hole right there. And she does it. Like,
I think that would be third. I think first degree is like premeditated.
Yeah.
Second is like in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
And third is
maybe accident
as a bystander.
Yeah.
Let's Google it.
There was a HBO documentary about the girl who was texting her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, and she convinced him to murder himself.
And she convinced him to kill himself. And she went to jail for third-degree murder. Yeah.
But Jen, you're right, though.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, but I agree with you. Like, the elevator is the one thing that makes me think someone had, like Nicole, what Nicole said, somebody could have been standing out there.
And then think about it. Right, John? Because
I never thought about that.
What if, okay, so she meets these random roommates, right? Mm-hmm. Probably some, you know, who knows what kind of people that she's meeting. She's acting weird as fuck already, right? And then these people are uncomfortable. Maybe they had a couple of drinks. Maybe they're like, hey, this would be really fun if you like, you know, and they're just like, and they're laughing.
They were like, haha, you screwed with me. We're going to screw with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, people get weird. People get uncomfortable with others who don't act the way that they do. So,
yeah.
So I don't think it's murder. I feel like somebody could have been holding that elevator door open, but it could have been unrelated to her death. It could have just been somebody who was like maybe trying to like convince her to like not do something, or just was trying to help her, saw that she was having some kind of mental crisis and was like,
they could have been like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And like stopping her from going wherever she was trying to go.
Like, let me help you.
Yeah.
It's a good thought. I like that you have the positive thought on that.
But it's just weird to me that nobody, like, you don't see anybody in that hallway little area.
I feel like it could have been somebody trying
to coerce her to follow her because they had malintent, but maybe she was trying to hide from them, got up on the roof in an attempt to hide and jumped
and
in.
Fell,
and she's already having some kind of like psychosis moment. So she's trying to like hide from them and thinks, oh, let me hide in this, not realizing it's a water tower, jumps inside. I'm sure there's no way to get out once you're in.
But then without a ladder. Why would she shed her clothes off then? Like, I wonder she would just shed.
Lizzie had said, was it the Wellbutrin that caused skin burning?
To feel like your skin's burning.
Maybe. Maybe she took her clothes off while she was in the water tank thinking her skin was burning.
Or she got in the water tank because her skin was burning.
And she took off her clothes because she was,
And if she's having hallucinations, who knows what she was seeing being presented to her as a water tank. Maybe it was like a nice, cool little pool. And that's what she was feeling. And
on top of that, her symptoms could have been mild, but hallucinations could have made them feel more prominent.
But okay, so let's think about, what if she's not hallucinating? So you're at the Cecil Hotel, which has an incredibly haunted history. Do we believe in ghosts?
It could have been paranormal.
If I had seen that video, my first thing would have been like, there's a fucking ghost there.
The first time I ever saw this video, demons. I thought it was a ghost video.
Most people really did. Yeah. Most people think it's paranormal. Because like, who the fuck are you talking to?
But you know what? Maybe if you're already in that heightened state, maybe you're more sensitive to the third realm. Mm-hmm. So she could be seeing, you know what? It's so many
theories. I'm not going to say it's not impossible.
I mean, who's to say that people who are schizophrenic or bipolar who
are not actually
in our world are seeing things, but in
maybe they're seeing things from another different world.
Who are we to say that? But to us, it makes us uncomfortable. So we say they're crazy, you know?
And we diagnose it a certain way.
And put them on this plane of, you need medication. And
I hate this country.
I don't feel like it was murder. I feel like it was just she had an episode and ended up in that tank.
The other theory that comes along with murder is that people think that like someone was in on it. And that takes it back to, remember how I was talking about people believe that the elevator was messed with and there's a discrepancy in the time. People are like really hard speculate into that footage and are convinced that the timestamp jumps and eliminates 53 seconds of footage. Like they're very specific about 53 seconds.
What if the police notice that?
Exactly.
And they would be like, why is this time? That would be like so obvious.
Exactly.
So like, on top of that, if it would have skipped 53 seconds, the elevator would have moved by then because you would have already pushed the buttons, or the buttons would have changed because we saw how quickly it changed after the fact.
Exactly.
The lights would have gone and the lights weren't changing.
Exactly. Yeah. That you can shoot a hole right through that one. But there are some people who stick by it and say that someone in the hotel was in on it. And that's why the police themselves blurred out the footage to see if they could get the person in the hotel to admit to it. And that once the parents got more involved and they found out, she has a lot of mental illness, they just decided to let it go. Mm. And then I don't think that's plausible at all. Online conspiracy theorists think that Elisa Lam was a tuberculosis test study. There was an outbreak of tuberculosis on Skid Row right around the time that she went missing. The test for this specific strain of tuberculosis that was going around was called the LAM-ELISA, which is the exact spelling of this girl's name.
Ew.
Wait. Yep. It stood for LAM, so it was called the Lam-Elisa, LAM-ELISA, and it stood for Leporibranemann enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay. I definitely just murdered that, but LAM was the Leporibranemann, LAM, and then the ELISA is the enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay.
Okay. Yeah.
So the conspiracy theorists jumped right on it, saying that Elisa Lam was used as a biological weapon of some kind to help eliminate the homeless population in the area of Skid Row, and that the University of British Columbia, where she was attending school, is known as a notable tuberculosis research center, which just only fueled this fire even more. Wow. So people think that she learned too much, that she learned she was a plant, and that she was murdered by whoever plotted to use her as biological warfare.
I feel like, if somebody's doing biological warfare, I'm going to assume it's the government. They're not going to be that sloppy with a murder.
Yeah. No. There's also zero signs of tuberculosis from her autopsy report.
With the government.
But isn't that wild?
I mean, because tuberculosis is pretty fucking contagious. So like, if they wanted an outbreak, she's running around this hotel like crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the wild. That was the wild, crazy.
I love that you found that one, though. That's
yeah,
a fun one.
Yeah. I love her like out of left field theories. Yeah, yeah.
I always like to try to find one.
I like that.
And this one was good. As soon as I saw like this, the strain was like named after, and that's how she spells her name: ELISALAM.
I mean, that is pretty interesting.
That is
that's wild.
That is something. It's
wild.
That is quite the coincidence.
But it's crap.
Yeah.
So my theory, out of all the stuff I looked at, all of her drug interactions, I think she was having tactile hallucinations. I think she was finding places all over the hotel to hide because that was her favorite thing to do while she was hallucinating. She was just kind of like coming in and out of it. There was other security footage that I didn't grab the link to, but that showed her at one point, I think on the 29th, that she was just like running around in the Cecil Hotel's like basement, like found her way down to the basement somehow. And one of the workers was basically like, get the hell out of here.
Oh, so she was just all over the place then.
So I really think that she was just coming in and out of hallucinations. I think the night that she disappeared, she was having, you know, like one final hallucination where she noticed the stairs to the fire escape and she just climbed up it. You know, maybe she thought something was chasing her or coming after her, you know, because she was already leaving the notes that said, go away and leave me alone. Mm-hmm. The side effects of her medication were known to give you hallucinations, as well as, like I said, the sensation of your skin burning. To me, it just makes sense that she started to hallucinate. She felt her skin burning. She knew that it was cooler outside. So maybe she went up on the roof where, you know, the most breeze was going to be to cool down. Maybe she did decide to strip naked because she needed, her skin was burning. She needed to cool down. And then finally saw the water tanks and was like, I know I can cool down in here. Who knows what she was seeing at the time, what she could have been hallucinating those water tanks to be. And she was known for finding random hiding places. So I'm sure she looked in those water tank, thought it was a cool place to hide, and just began, maybe she didn't even want to climb all the way inside. Maybe she was just trying to like stick her feet in or something and she just fell in. But yeah, so I'm leaving you with another sad one. Sorry, John.
That was good. That was really good.
That is the story of poor Elisa Lam.
So do you guys, so Nicole, what do you think?
I think she was just trying to hide and was having a episode and went inside and couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm. Lexi?
I'm on the fence of the combo of somebody, maybe not maliciously, but messing with her and her having an episode. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of on the fence with that.
Mm-hmm.
And what about you, John?
I think it's the same demonic entity that took Roland Doe. He just came back. That she came back to life. She's like, Michelangelo. Angel man that tried to kill me, I'm back, bitch, and now she's gone. No, kidding. I shouldn't be kidding, but I agree with Liz. I agree with you that you feel like it was a tactile skin thing that like didn't I can't think of a better word, like didn't enrage her, but like took her over, and like she needed to find a way to like cool off or do,
well, you got to imagine, because she had bipolar issues, she could suffer hallucinations. Who knows, like being off her bipolar medication, how much that like heightened her hallucinations. Yeah. How much that like heightened her emotions, like who knows how she was feeling at the time.
And I also feel like people were probably messing with her in that hotel, and who knows if people were messing with her, like what that's going to do to her mental health too.
Yeah.
Like, how is that going to compound?
You know how people can be, right? Especially if you're not in the right mental state, you can think that someone's being completely friendly to you and they're actually just being one huge piece of crap and like again, making fun of you. And trying. I've seen people do it.
Be in the reverse, that they're trying to be helpful, but because you're in this state, you think they're out to get you.
And also, obviously, people were drinking. So we know for a fact that she had alcohol in her system. Who knows what other people had drinking that night or consumed as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
So maybe drunk people like
and then like coerced her into like doing something.
Yeah,
maybe like, maybe a bunch of people went up there.
Maybe they were like, hey, I dare you to jump in here. And you're, you know,
that's
jump in
actually
naked.
A really good point, because the dogs couldn't get her scent on the roof, but they could track it to that window. So like, what if she did go up there and party with a bunch of people? And that's why the drug dogs couldn't pick out her scent. But they would have caught
security
partying.
Camera. I feel like you would see somebody.
You would have
more
caught
than
a party. Yeah.
True. Good point.
And then why the elevator footage at that point?
Dog, the elevator footage.
Yeah. Unless she's like talking to someone and they're like, hey, are we going to go up? Like, I'm going to.
Yeah.
And her, like, the way her hands are moving as
that's
she's
so
like.
That's so weird. The way her hands are
the
moving.
The way her
really
hands
freaky.
Are like this.
Yeah, they do look very, like, she looked very, like, unstable. Like,
intense.
I am having a moment, you know.
All right, everyone. That was another episode of the Scare Me Straight podcast. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on all our socials at Scare Me Straight. Stay spooky, bitches. We'll see you next time.
Stay spooky.
It was a tuberculosis.
Not a tuberculosis.
Bye.
Bye.
Stick it in your ass.